On the next Probably True Solar Stories, we imagine what a fictional President Biden could have said at his State of the Union to bring more urgency about our global climate crisis and our current solar and clean energy solutions. Welcome back to Season 3 of Probably True Solar Stories. Did you listen to last week's State of the Union? I did, because I always want to hear how each president promotes solar and clean energy. This year, there were few words, but President Biden did address climate change and his climate actions as president. I want to sincerely thank President Biden for those 74 seconds. I know the nation has a lot of priorities, but this is Probably True Solar Stories. So I wondered, what if a fictional President Biden or his fictional alter ego, Dark Brandon, lost patience with the lack of climate action in Congress, and he made clean energy and climate action as his top priority for the State of the Union address? I hope President Biden will forgive me for my bad impersonation and putting words into his mouth, but I think this fictional speech would have sounded something like this. Our solar State of the Union, the Energy Deep State, is written and read by Tor Solar Fred Valenza. Mr. Speaker, Madam Vice President, members of Congress, justices of the Supreme Court, and my fellow Americans, tonight I want to begin by speaking to you about the existential threat facing our nation and the world. It's not the border, it's not Russia, and it's not even my election-denying predecessor. All of those are real problems, and I'll get to that. But first, we need to talk about something that few presidents talk about in depth, and that's climate change and how we're going to solve it. Now, nobody thinks climate change is a hoax anymore. I'm not a climate scientist, but I listen to the real climate scientists. And they say that if we don't act within the next decade, the consequences will be catastrophic and irreversible. I'm not going to depress you with the details. That'll just make you switch the channel to Netflix, and I want you to stay awake. So let me be as blunt as possible. We are in the middle of an undeclared climate emergency today. If America and the world does not immediately start to phase out fossil fuels and aggressively transition our power plants to clean and renewable energy, we're screwed, folks. How's that for Dark Brandon? Actually, I take that back. My young Republican friends are calling me too old. Even some of my young Democratic friends are calling me too old. Okay, so let me rephrase what I just said for all you younger folks. If America and the world don't immediately start to phase out fossil fuels and aggressively transition to solar and other clean energy technologies, you're screwed. Your children are screwed. And your grandchildren are screwed. No! Me and my predecessor, we aren't going to be around to see the worst of it. And he doesn't care. Well, I do care. As long as I'm president, I have not, and I will not, let our climate emergency get worse. I have and I will do everything in my legal presidential power to reverse climate change for as long as I live. Hopefully for at least another 4 years. My predecessor doesn't care because he says climate change is a hoax. And because of that, his followers in the House and Senate also call it a hoax. Or if they don't, they minimize the urgency of phasing out fossil fuels and replacing it with clean energy. I know I'm not going to make any friends saying that, but I don't care anymore. I am old, remember? Grandpa's got a microphone, and he's going to use it to tell America that we are in a climate emergency. I'm not afraid to say that out loud, and I'm not afraid to say that both the House and the Senate aren't doing enough. Not all of you, the ones who've crafted legislation and actually voted for clean energy on the chamber floor, they mean what they say. The others might say that they only support carbon capture and clean coal, technologies that don't even work in 2024. They're all experiments, and they're very expensive ones. But you know what clean technology does work and isn't expensive? Solar energy. Solar is the least expensive energy source today, and it's the number one source of new power plant generation in the world, including the United States of America. Why? Because sunlight is free fuel. You don't have to dig it up. You don't have to build oil tankers, trains, and trucks to transport it. You don't burn it to spin a turbine. The sun just shines a light on a solar panel, and it creates electricity. It seems like magic, but it's physics, folks. Yes, you have to manufacture the solar panel first, but the cost of solar electricity has gone down 89% since 2010, and it keeps getting lower. That's no malarkey. When I tell people that it's the lowest cost of electricity today and the number one source of energy for new U.S. power plants, they believe me. But then they hem and haw and they say to me, "But Mr. President, solar power doesn't work at night." And I say, "You ever heard of batteries?" They say, "Well, batteries are too expensive. And besides, they make them in China, Mr. President." And I say, "Not for long, my friends. When this administration passed the Inflation Reduction Act, otherwise known as the IRA, private companies have announced more than $600 billion. Let me say that again. $600 billion in investments under this administration, including $152 billion in electric vehicle and batteries, and another $74 billion in clean energy manufacturing, including solar panels. After that, people say to me, solar isn't reliable. And I say, really? Look up. Tell that to the astronauts and the International Space Station, which is 100% powered by solar panels and batteries. Tell that to all the satellites that are powered by solar. There ain't a gas plant powering the space station or those satellites. It's reliable, American-made solar panels. Can we solve our climate crisis with solar and wind and batteries alone? According to the energy experts and the energy economists, who are way smarter than me, we can get to 80% or some say 90% of the way there with the same solar and wind and battery technology that we have today. And we'll get there with millions of new jobs, cleaner air, less asthma, less cancer, and a new clean energy economy. But let's say the energy wonks are wrong. Especially now with AI and Bitcoin needing more and more energy. We can still get to 80% there with the technology that we have today. As for the other 20%, American solutions and innovations are already on the way to being scaled. Maybe that solution will be green hydrogen, or maybe that will be new iron air batteries for seasonal long-duration storage, or maybe it will be geothermal. Or maybe it will be new solar hot rocks and a battery box technology. I'm not making that up. Solar heated hot rocks in a box. Yep, look it up. The solutions could even include new nuclear power if they can agree on a standard design, train new workers, build supply chains, and get their costs down as low as renewable energy technologies. But look, folks. My point is that right now, in 2024, solar, wind, and batteries are the cheapest forms of power today. Renewable energy isn't the future. It's right now. So then people say, what about my car? Electric vehicles are quickly replacing every gas-guzzling car in Norway and China right now. Why not in America? Once again, the technology already works, folks. You say you've got range anxiety? Most people only drive under 50 miles a day. But okay, You want to take a road trip. No problem. The Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that we passed in 2021 is going to make sure that we'll have thousands of public EV chargers on highways and rural roads across the U.S. Although, if you own a home, you'll probably have an EV charger in your garage. Just saying. But it'll be on the road, too. Folks, even if we weren't in a climate crisis, let me ask you this thought experiment. Say you locked your purse or your car keys and phone in your car with the ignition on. Would you rather be stuck in the garage with an electric car or a gas car? Of course you'd want it to be an electric car. You'd be suicidal to choose the gas car, and that's our choice right now, folks. We've got to start choosing the right technology to save our planet and ourselves. If we just stick with the old solutions, our kids and our grandkids are going to be stuck in that garage. Don't let that happen. Now I can hear the climate-denying pundits. They're going to say that the clean energy transition will cost jobs, ignoring all the new jobs that will be created in our climate energy transition. They'll say it will be too expensive, ignoring the 100 years of subsidies that taxpayers have been giving to fossil fuel companies. 100 years, folks. You'd think that oil and gas companies didn't need taxpayer-funded corporate welfare anymore. Maybe we should get some of that money back, eh? Or at least stop giving it to them. So what are fossil fuel companies doing with their record profits, tax shelters, and subsidies? Are they stopping oil and gas exploration? No. Are they investing the majority of their profits and research dollars into solar, wind, and battery storage, or even nuclear? No. Instead, they're looking for new oil wells in Alaska and the Gulf Coast and everywhere, hoping to extend their fossil fuel business model for another 75 years. Yes, some of them are investing in clean biofuels for jet fuel, and that's great. But they're not deploying it, folks. It's still a chemistry experiment. If it's not, then scale it, manufacture it, and put it out there. I welcome their biofuels as long as it's cheap and it has zero emissions. But you know the worst thing that oil and gas companies are doing? They're funding the energy deep state. I'll bet you've never heard of the energy deep state. The name is new, but the concept is old. The energy deep state actors include fossil fuel businesses, advertisers, ad agencies, public relations agencies, fossil fuel think tanks, fossil fuel trade organizations, media organizations, municipal, state, and federal regulators, and of course, lawyers and oil and gas lobbyists. In short, any person, business, or entity that purposely promotes, minimizes, or greenwashes global warming and the pollution of oil, gas, and coal companies are a part of the energy deep state. They may not be a coordinated group, but they all have one goal: ignore climate change and preserve the status quo and profitability of burning and selling fossil fuels. Now that we know about the energy deep state and who they are, what are we going to do about it? Well, folks, this is an election year. Up until now, climate change hasn't been at the top of the polls. With all that's going on right now, it's hard to think about the future. I know that. But please, for God's sake, we can't be short-sighted anymore. The future is going to be much worse unless we act now. Think of your kids and grandkids. If you're under 50, think of yourself in 20 years, because that world is going to get worse if the energy deep state keeps its slow-walking climate plans. And unlike me, you're going to be around to see it. But here's the deal, folks. I don't want you to see it. I don't want your kids to see it. Or your grandkids. Now I know after this speech, you're going to hear a lot of energy deep state ads and pundits telling you that I want you to stop flying and driving, and that I want you to live in the Stone Age and to become a vegan and eat bugs. bowl Twinkies, folks. I'm not saying we're going to stop using gas by next Tuesday. Live your lives, take trips, eat a hamburger. But for your next car, buy an EV. When your water heater, stove, or gas dryer dies, buy an electric one. When it's time to replace your air conditioner or heater, get a heat pump. Go solar and add a battery if that makes sense too. The technology is all there, folks. Or at least 80% there. It's a transition. That's all I'm saying. I promise you, the stove police aren't coming for your gas stove. That's just silly. If we're successful in 2024, me and our new Climate Action Congress are going to pass legislation that will make our clean energy transition even easier. We're going to stop giving away your tax dollars for oil and gas subsidies. If they want any subsidies, they can start investing in renewables. We're going to rewrite regulations that support a fast, clean energy transition, not slow us down. But here's the good news for our democracy, folks. After 2024, after climate action candidates win, your clean energy vote is going to give energy deep state politicians a wake-up call. They're going to realize that doing nothing about climate change isn't going to win elections anymore. Both Republicans and Democrats are going to find candidates who are going to show, through their past actions, that they're serious about beating climate change. And then you'll have a real choice for the best, most cost-effective, clean energy ideas from both parties to solve this global problem together. Climate action shouldn't be partisan. It really shouldn't. If you all say I'm wrong, that everyone in this room is serious about climate action, then show it. You've got until November, and I will welcome participation from both parties. Dump the energy deep state. Vote for climate action and renewable energy in 2024. Please, folks. We're running out of time. Please. I apologize to Joe Biden for my horrible voice impersonation. I also want to apologize to all the serious climate action Republicans. I know you're frustrated by the lack of climate action in Congress, just as I am. Now, I threw out a lot of clean energy stats and facts in this speech. As usual, you'll find more information about those stats in the True Solar Takeaways in this episode's show notes. Thanks for listening to this fictional State of the Union speech. We'll be back next week with a truly fictional solar story. Probably True Solar Stories is a production of Unthink Solar, PR, and Communications. Be bold for solar. Stand out and educate.